December the 16th, dear friends. Rust is Dar, shadowthedarkness.net. Listen, God is spirit. God is spirit. Now, we read about that in the book of 1 John. We also can read the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 4, where it says that not only God is spirit, but that he seeks worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. Now, we're dealing with the Hadron Collider and CERN technology that may have come with human enhancement, and not just a wrench or a hammer or even a vehicle. We're talking about technology that can affect the entire globe. Now, we're going to get into that in a few moments, because they're looking for the God particle, the Higgs-Boson particle, and we'll talk about that. But hang on, listen, God is spirit. How do you nail down spirit? How do you put that under a microscope? How do you take the infinite, uncreated, listen, the indestructible God? God is acidic. That is the idea that God is self-propelling. There is no outside force he plugs into. He doesn't need to get recharged. He doesn't fade. He's not creation. There's no second law of thermodynamics going on here. Now listen, you, dear listener, you and I, we are decaying. We're aging. Something's happening. There is a death code in our genetics. And because of the fall of the human race, there is a sin code, a propensity to be hostile to God, to nix God, to keep our conscience, our mind, well, blinded from God. Now, I'm going to deal with the dark sin code today and the agenda outside of that, and also that creation is in decay. And there's a reason for that, nature. And again, this is for, again, all those who love to study science and take a look at things. I got a brand new book here to my right. Listen, it's called The Great Design, a little bit older of a book, The Great Design, Particles, Fields, and Creation. Pretty neat so far. And then I've got another one that we're looking into called this, The Language of God by Francis Collins. A scientist presents evidence for belief. Belief. So he's going to touch into the area of particles, atoms, and DNA, and talk about how everything has instruction. Now, I am reading, I think it's, his last name is Lederman, Leon Lederman, and with Dick Turess, The God Particle. Now, the subtitle, If the Universe is the Answer, What is the Question? Well, I don't think that's the answer or the question. I think part of the searching for the God particle involves that age-old issue, concerning God, origins, where did the universe come from? And if the physicists and scientists say that everything backs up to a moment, well, before time, I want to share something, and I want to maybe those of you who are thinkers and you do like science and theoretical physics, and you do keep abreast of things like CERN, the Super Collider, and HARP, and many other larger technologies. One that I'm going to tell everybody, keep your eyes on any Defense Department working on planetary defense weapons systems. Because they are tinkering with developing the future right in front of them. Again, for new individuals coming to the show tonight, I want to say thank you. 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They've given us the freedom to call it the Shatter the Darkness Hour. And this is Russ Dizdar. If you want to find out about us, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Hello to some of those friends that have written in. And by the way, you could write in during the hour of the show. Let me say again to all those, because we have a lot of different kinds of people listening. And, to seek the Spirit of God in His guidance for what needs to be said, both live right now and, listen, the archives are being downloaded by the thousands also. So even those who cannot catch the show during the week, get it later on. And we want to say that you're included in our prayers and in what I believe is the providence of God, the greatest mission, the greatest and most dynamic agenda going on in the world today. And that is God summoning humanity back out of this failure, out of this darkness, out of this ragged edge of a broken world where we cry and have pain and do war and shed blood. God is calling us out of it. There is a Prince of Peace. It cost a price, the old rugged cross. A blood was shed. And for the Nazis out there, it's beyond Aryan blood, by the way, beyond the bloodlines of the Merovingians and all the rest. This blood is sinless. And this blood is the blood of God. And if you don't understand the dynamic effects, those of you who do worship in dark circles and call upon an ancient serpent that you think is a being of light, then ask your demons about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, and the blood of Christ. And you know, as I've heard from Satanists again and again and again, and I've been in many, many deliverance sessions, the demons go wild, man. The demons know the power of Jesus' name, the power of what he's done at the cross. They also know very clearly, they know the power of the blood of Christ. For all the Satanists and sub-personalities, chosen ones, Luciferians, and those who would understand ritual bloodletting, shedding of the blood. Listen, I've got books of shadows and underground books that are not on the market that we've confiscated or were given over. Even the French version, typed out version of the Black Mass. But there's more than that. Now, I don't have my hands on what a museum or a library, one of the two in London, has, which could be that ancient ritual books or ancient books that deal with Lucifer that do not have leather binding, but instead skin. Some would say animal, some say human. Now, I've heard this for years and years. We've never had our hands on it. They're valuable to the underground. But I want you to know that all of what we're talking about here does affect politics, does affect the economy. It does affect the environment. And the environment, right now, the environmental agenda from globalists is going to play a big part in convincing the world not only of a new world order and its need, but of a new super leader that at first will act like he's going to help save the planet. But if you read biblical prophetic revelation at all and realize that it's the only accurate, infallible, prophetic content that you can count on because it's never failed, then read Revelation chapter 9 about one-third of the planet or the humanity being destroyed. Look at one-fourth of the earth, the destruction of the earth, the destruction of humanity. Jesus said would be unprecedented. Never in history has it ever occurred, and never again. Thank you, Jesus. But it's coming. It's just around the corner. And although globalism at this point basically have no idea what it's going to do. And I want to tell you, there's a spirit not only behind, in, and, well, the presence in the development, the evolution of globalism is an active, living presence. And God has named it. Ephesians chapter 2, the prince, a ruler, an entity, the energy, the global brain, this presence, the Akashic records, presence out there that is being detected or allowing scientists, spiritual seekers, even remote viewers, tap in or be tapped into, it is not just benign energy. It is not particles. It is not substance. It is energy that emanates off of entities, ancient, powerful entities. Biblical revelation calls them cosmocrators. Archon, rulers, forces in the heavenly realms that have a leader, the ruler, the prince of the power, Greek word eros, meaning the immediate dense atmosphere around the earth. So listen, there's more going on than just flat tires, not enough pay in the paycheck, and our sons and daughters getting a cold and fighting off swine flu. By the way, where'd swine flu go? I don't know anybody's got swine flu anywhere around here. Seems like something's happened, even though they did not get out the shot. I mean, in vast numbers, millions upon millions, the shots didn't simply go out. Tonight we're going to talk about spirit and matter, the difference between the two. We're going to talk about the spirit being beyond the particle, beyond the Higgs boson particle. Even if they do smash the energy and let the Atlas detector spot this theoretical particle. And though they would call it a God particle, they need to simply say that they have discovered another aspect of creation. It is creation they are biting into. It is creation that they are scratching. It is creation that they are slicing and putting under their detector, microscope, and research. And there's nothing wrong with looking at creation and studying creation. But I want to ask the audience tonight about the safety of the super collider. Steve Quell and I, back in the summertime, did three separate series, and one of them was Engaging the Abyss. And then I did a seven-part series actually prior to that, which we've now collected and put all together. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net and get it free, all the hours of that discussion, the locality of the abyss, what is inside the abyss, and we're writing a book on the abyss, by the way, and the title is just simply The Abyss. There's a subtitle. The subtitle is, the problem is not the abyss, the problem is what comes out of the abyss. Now again, read Revelation chapter 9, God gives us enormous, infallible, accurate insight into coming future history. When the abyss is open. One thing that's very clear about the abyss is that nothing but total devastating destruction flows out of it. Nothing more than total devastating, whether it's the ancient Nephilim spirits, whether it's Semyaza and all the rest, whether it's them. Listen, all we know that in the abyss, the biblical revelation of picturing what comes out, look what it says, and then comes down upon the earth. It is very clear that when the abyss is open, my friends, very clear that when the abyss is open, that it affects the sun, the moon, I mean that it is massive, that it is dimensional. Whether it's under the earth, even if it is, it's still dimensional. There's a containment. And there is a need to get authority to open it up. And the idea of authority is getting the rights. When Jesus Christ, sinless, died on the cross, conquered sin, death, Satan, hell, all of it, he did this gaining rights. Biblical revelation calls him the second Adam. See, he's God in human flesh, but he plays the part, in a sense, not only of God in human flesh, and the revelation of what God is, in all of his nature, all of his being, you're going to find it in Christ. But you're also going to see the concept of the fullness of man, sinless man. That's why he's called the Son of Man. And you read 2 Timothy, and you read about how we pray for the lost to be saved, and this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men, pos anthropos, all men to be saved, and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And then it talks about one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. You've got to realize, he's called Emmanuel. He's directly worshipped by the angels, the elect angels, and they're only allowed, and they only will worship God. They know who he is. It's clear. They're not confused theologians. They're not dissenting occultists or cult-oriented teachers, the elect angels of God clearly not only called him Emmanuel, worshipped him as God, but one angel in Revelation 19, in reference to Jesus, commands John even to worship God. Don't worship angels. Real elect angels will rebuke you if you try to worship them. They know who they are. And they know who, by the way, the elect angels of God have never, never, never detracted, left, rebelled. There are two-thirds that have stayed loyal from moment one when they came into being. They are fierce. They are elect angels of God. They are sent to bring guardianship to believers in Christ. They are working. Matter of fact, read the book of Revelation, and angelos, angels, will be referred to over 65 times. A lot of angelic, you know, activity in the end of days, and it involves massive global judgment. It involves massive spiritual warfare. It involves the closure of human history. But now listen, it's a battle all the way to the end. The rise of Antichrist and his troops and globalism and a super military system is pictured by God as the final but yet apex pinnacle of dark presence manifested in the physical realm. Now, we're seeing the evolution of it. We're seeing some of the events. We're living right now. American Christians and even English Christians and Canadians and Aussies down there, too. Listen, we all need to realize something. You need to embrace the biblical worldview, not rationalism, not deism. Throw out existentialism and definitely throw out nihilism. And embrace halathia, truth, reality. That's the word of truth. Jesus is truth, the spirit of truth, that God has given truth. There is a final, final, infinite, absolute truth that cannot change, will not change. And that's a good thing. And some of that revelation, some of that truth tells us that God, the infinite, immeasurable, indestructible, immortal God, is the most personal being in existence, the most relational being in existence, created us for fellowship, and even in our sin and rebellion and joining an insurrection, believing a lie presented by a liar. The fallen cherub told humanity that we could Well, the physics of the dark side spirituality is, listen, if you embrace the new spirituality, you're going to evolve and become like God. You're going to gain deity. You're going to get the secret elitist knowledge. Liar. From beginning to end, the fallen cherub, liar. Can't change his nature. Nothing shows us that he wants it. He willed it into existence, and he wills it now. Father of lies and a murderer. If you think for a moment, Satanists or Luciferians, elitists in Europe, black nobility, those embracing the black flame wherever you might be, secret societies and even Masonic embracers of what? Luciferic light? If you think for a moment that you're going to get what this masqueraded light promises. Look at the history. He can't even evolve into infinite God himself. He cannot lift himself any higher. There was a disintegration the moment that he fell. Read it. Ezekiel 28. Desecration of his sanctuary. Corruption all the way through. Like a burnt match. Still there, but every ounce of his being, of his genetics, if he has them, are transmuted. Nothing of truth. Jesus said it clearly. There's no truth in him. Now listen, there's an agenda. And for a long, 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 long time, there's been, even in occult circles, the goal to join technology with spirituality. That's true in Hinduism, the New Age, Old Gnostics, Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky. There is this dark side push to convince humanity that it's able to, through technology and science and new knowledge, somehow come to the point of breaching the gap. The dark side is looking for gaps, looking for doorways, looking for rights to come through gateways. That's what it's all about. If they get you to listen to them, whether in the military, whether in the White House, wherever you might be, you know, if they get you and draw you out with curiosity, make you feel their energy, find it all as entities that have rebelled against God and have an agenda to subjugate the human race, use the human race, and march all the way to Armageddon, and the goal, kill God, or at least attempt it, for the third and final time. Does anybody in the body of Christ embrace biblical revelation and consider the immensity of what God has given us? The immensity of the end of days and the revelation. We need to live in this confusing, ragged world under biblical instruction in relationship to Christ, but know this biblical revelation well, my friend. It's not about a debate of the timing of the rapture. It's going to occur. The harpezo, the catching up, will occur. No question about that. The glorification will occur. And it involves, by spirit, affecting matter, and in less than a, well, in an atom, what you want to call it, an atom of time. And there is no time in this. There is a split second. It is a unsplittable second. That's a good phrase. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when you read about in the twinkling of an eye, and then you read in a flash, the Greek word atom, in an unsplittable moment. On a human basis, we really can't split the time issue here. The exertion of the power, the Spirit of God, affecting matter. Affecting matter. That's what I want to say in this series tonight, that we're talking about, well, tonight's title, The Spirit Beyond the Particle. Does the Spirit, referring to God, God is Spirit, control the particle or vice versa? I'm going to say very clearly that God, infinite, immeasurable, uncreated God, immaterial, does God, who is Spirit, not only create matter, create the particles, create the substance of all things, physical universe as we can see it and study it and research it, or is it vice versa? Can the finite create something beyond itself? Can finite, that which has beginning and end, that which has massive limitations in comparison? See, I can't be in Russia right now. I'm here. You see, I can't be running down into the woods right now where I'd love to be, jogging into the deep woods right now. I'm here. But God's there. Read Psalms 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Height, depth, width, wherever, where can you go? That's why we need to understand God is infinite, infinity. Take a trip into God and try to research God. You'll never come out the other side. There is no other side. There's no borders. So it all begins with the immaterial, uncreated, self-existent, immeasurable, infinite, oh, and much more, God. And God is Spirit. It's not, like I said yesterday, ex nihilo, out of nothing, God created something. The old theologians meant that out of no pre-existent particles, no pre-existent material, no mass, no matter, nothing, God was able to call it into existence. Bang! There it is. And how is the scientist going to find what occurred before the bang? Genesis 1, simply, by special act of God, bara, God created. The Spirit of God brooded, moved, like a presence over all of the material. And, well, then we see the formation. And then, ultimately, the creation of man. And you do realize, the globe where it's at right now, Earth, on its axis spinning, with air to breathe and a sun to bring warmth, and with vegetation and all that is here, everything about creation was set in place so that God can bring the apex of creation and set us, Imago Dei, meant to bear the image of God in majesty, incredible, eternal spirituality. We walked with God in the garden, friends. There was no separation. There was no death. There was no limitation. There was no decay. Don't think for a moment that Satan is just a little bad bug. He has infected the heavenlies, one-third of the angelic host went. He invaded this realm, and you and I, humanity, we joined the insurrection. We slammed the door shut on the word of God, on God. We exchanged the glory of God. Well, we exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Read Romans 1, my friend. You know, there are so many people that sit back that are philosophical and sing songs and write blogs. We'll be back one day to our afternoon show called The Ragged Edge. And we called it The Ragged Edge for a reason, because we live in a world where our physical bodies fail, break down, where humanity can cuss one another out, spit in each other's face, set bombs at cafes or put them on children's school buses. Crazed men can stand up at an army base where knowingly no one has a weapon in the room and shoot women in the head, pregnant women in the back, and give praise to a demonic territorial being. We live in that kind of a world. We live in a world where there is massive conflict. And you and I need to bow our knee and say, God, we have done this. And we have opened the door to radical evil, and we have given a right. We've given rights. That's why the Word of God describes this prince of the power of the air as the god of this world. Actually, the Greek word is aeon, time period. 1 John 5 tells us that he's in control of the whole fallen world system. And if not for the grace of God breaking in and his redemption, and by the way, in this 1 hour, in the first 30 minutes, there is a work of the Spirit of God to summon those of you that listen, wherever you may be, God's calling you to come home. God, who is spirit, can bring a dynamic and divine work into your life. Does spirit affect mass, matter, particles? We're talking now about human beings. Can actual forgiveness, cleansing, freedom from the sin code, death code, hell, and all of it, can it come? And at the same instantaneous moment, the living presence of God, a new power, and the implantation of the gift of eternal life come into our lives? Yes. Can we know that we know that we know God? Yes. Can we know that we know that we know God listens to prayer and can speak into our lives? Yes. Can we know that we know that we know what's going to happen at the moment of our death, absent from the body, present with the Lord? Yes. Can we know that we are going to have a new body, indestructible, immortality, exerted by the Spirit of God, literally affecting the elements? Listen, do you understand that the dead in Christ will rise first? Those who are alive will be caught up. It talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 4 and also 1 Corinthians 15, that we will not all sleep. We will be changed eternally. The mortal will put on immortality, indestructible, able to see God face to face. Now that's what Christ presented, paid for, provided at that old rugged cross. And by the millions and millions, New Agers believe the lies of the spirits of the New Age who presented them a false, de-deified, fake Christ. Many of you ufologists do the same thing. Many of those who are questing for spirituality are listening to the spirits of the New Age. God calls them planoffs, seducers, imposters. Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 is where you'll find that all about that. And I'm going to tell you today that, well, there's problems concerning the Hadron Super Collider, this massive technology. The collider, supposed to smash energy, the scientists acknowledge that it may create a few small black holes and whatever else. I was reading today an article, and I like this article. It's from the web, TechFreep, subtitled Daily Tech News and Free Press. So if you go to techfreep.com, and I'm reading an article, and you could just put a search in if you want on dangers of the super collider. Here's the title of it: World's Largest Super Collider Could Destroy the Universe. So they begin to give a few notes back and forth. Scientists are being quoted, people that work there. And then now listen very carefully, because those who have studied and know about CERN, those who have looked into the technology of it, those who are wondering why so many hundreds of millions of dollars is committed to a machine that will, well, ultimately there's other technologies like the web that maybe have been coming out of it, but I'm going to say again, I want you to think about this in the back of your mind. This specifically is for military weapons developers and scientists who work on technology. Anybody getting new, massively advanced technology. I'm going to just say this, you don't have to believe it or not, but just check into it, think through it. I believe there is a spiritual agenda, spiritual side, where there are non-human intelligent presence seeking to send communication, bring interaction, bring data, a revelation, plop into the mind, into the influence of weapons developers, scientists who work on massive global impacting technology. I believe there's a spiritual side that is seeking to bring human enhancement, advanced technology, to be developed and have on the field ready for when the fallen cherub is actually in human skin. Personal opinion, he's already alive somewhere in Europe. His regime is connected. It's ready. It's pushing. Secret power of lawlessness. There is a restrainer. They're bulging at the stream, at the seams, to break out in this, well, massive revolt, massive chaos, massive anarchy, such as the world, on a global scale, has never seen. They need to collapse everything, thus the Black Awakening, so that they can come to save the day. The scope of deceit, subterfuge, is beyond human calculation. You're talking about entities that are millennia in their development. Masquerading as translucent spirits, spirits of the New Age. Ascended masters talking to a little lady named Alice Bailey who wrote 21 volumes. To be the underlying doctrinal didache of these spirits, the teachings, and influence hundreds of millions. Primary stuff for future globalization. Masqueraded as angel of light. But make no bones about it, and I tell you this because the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me, there is an urgency, but there is a love for you listening. Don't be deceived, Jesus said. The Spirit of God says it again and again and again in the New Testament. We've been given the warnings. We've been given the heads up. We've been given the insight, the pinnacle of spiritual deception affecting minds and hearts of billions is already upon us. And I'm saying that this side is seeking to create technologies that it and it alone knows its future use. If this dark spiritual presence has inspired the minds of scientists to develop CERN, the super collider there at CERN, to give human enhancements right here and right now with the ultimate agenda of using it for the darkest agendas ever experienced among humanity that will involve the broadest, largest massacre of humanity ever in history. Study Revelation chapter 9. Now, the reason I bring in CERN all this week and try to convince and tell scientists and those who study that the particle, if they find this Higgs particle, once again they got a slice of creation, but not the creator. God is spirit, immaterial, and literally untouchable or reachable by finite means. Even if the technology has been supernaturally enhanced. I'm saying again, out of biblical revelation, that Satan himself seeks to develop technologies for future use. Who's going to open the abyss? Who's going to be there in Revelation 19:19 at Armageddon? How does the world collect the largest, most technologically advanced, most spiritually induced military power with its super soldiers? Where do they come from? As they gather by supernatural guidance onto the fields of Armageddon. And we're talking about the greatest destruction of humanity, but this is humanity that has taken the mark and worshiped the image of the beast, which, by the way, the image of the beast may be a connection between technology and spirituality. Mm-hmm. Could this super collider at some point in history, with enhancements yet to be added, be a tool that actually breaches, or you can call it subspace, brings about black holes, whatever, or with that dark supernatural enhancement that humans actually agreed and opened the door to use, is it possible? I'm saying it is. I'm not saying that the super collider will be the thing that opens the abyss, but I'm saying that it's a possibility, no question about that. 6,000 scientists, you would think the intellect of the world, right? Wrong. I'm going to read right now off this page, again, techfreep.com. I'm reading right now, and I quote, this is from an individual that worked, you know, at CERN and on the supercollider. Here's what it says. Quote, CERN software developer Ran Livni has expressed some concerns about the project, about the supercollider. And I'm going to quote what he says. Listen. Quote, this physical realm is unknown, referring to the particles. So this physical realm is unknown, and dangerous phenomena might arise. Any physicist will tell you that there is no way to prove that generated black holes will decay. The consequences of being mistaken are unfathomable. This subject deserves serious, unbiased discussion, end of quote. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to read the quote again. This massive, globally impacting, and I say globally because it's already impacted the finances of the world, the scientists of the world, the media, the interest, the concern. The idea of the concern is that many of these physicists are saying, yes, little small miniature black holes may appear, but they'll decay. They'll fade out. It's like a little fire that starts that'll go out. But here is one of the scientists, one of the physicists that are saying very, very, very clearly, they don't know. They have no idea. And if we understand the methodology of the fallen cherub, of this ancient entity that seeks to breach the gap, to bring in some level of technology that can be used for globalism, for control, for a combination of spirit and technology that brings effect into the physical realm, and the possibility of developing future, well, even now, but for future use, planetary defense weapons systems. Will CERN, the superclider, end up being a defense weapon? Will it be the thing that, though the scientists who may be spiritually unable to discern the energy and presence that has been invading their dreams, plopping into their head, giving them the insights for technologies, seems to me that all over CERN, spirit behind is not the spirit of God, but ancient spirit, Shiva. Small g, God of destruction. Interesting that that's the totem, the art, whatever you want to call it, out in front on the property. You don't understand how spirit can not only bring communication, revelation of the demonic, can literally develop political ideology, military vision, and weapons development. Behind the demonic revelation can come human experimentation, stuff that makes psychologists think that they can enhance and make superhumans. That all occurred with the Nazis. Nazi political ideology flowed from demonic revelation, data, influence. Nazi military vision, weapons development, super soldier ideologies, flowed from demonic revelation, demonic data that guided Himmler, Hitler, and all the rest. It guided their quest for Aryan blood, the blood of ancient Nephilim that has the genetics of the demonic, to transmute humanity and make a race of super warriors that would enforce a 1,000-year Reich. What we see among the Nazis, their development, the destruction that it brought, is a miniature in comparison to today's occultism, New Age movement, Luciferianism, goal for globalism, the political ideology of globalism, the military weapons development and vision of globalism, the science of globalism, the mind control of globalism, the reach of globalism, from beginning to end, my friend, has a dark, ancient presence guiding it every step of the way. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got to stand strong in the power of the Spirit of God and be a part of the mission that rescues humanity out of this deception, out of this darkness, and brings them to the message. Did you know that the Spirit of God is in the words of God? Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are light." In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, the Logos, the written grapha, the writing, is said to be living and active. The words of God are alive because of the Spirit of God. Spirit has definitely affected matter in language. When you open the book of God, it's the only book whose author is always present and in the Word. They don't lie passive, like creation that pours forth speech. It proclaims and declares God's existence to a degree. But the special revelation that is in that book is the revelation direct by God through 40 writers who all knew God, knew they were guided by the Spirit of God. They came from three continents and three languages, and it took over 1,600 years. On a human scale, the Bible outweighs any ancient manuscript on the basis of archaeological, historical, the development of the handing down of manuscripts, the copying, the level of manuscripts, the numbers of manuscripts, all of this behind the scriptures in a massive way outweighs anything out there when it comes to people claiming support for ancient manuscripts. It is an absolutely ignorant thing to say, "Oh, the Bible's been changed by people," and you know, all this junk that the spirits of the New Age, through Alice and many others, have tried to convince. When people say that to me, New Agers and psychics and remote viewers even say to me, "Well, the Bible, you can't really trust it because they changed everything." Really? 23,000 manuscripts, copies, codex, 5,560 some that are so massively intact of the New Testament. It is overwhelming. Even Homer's Iliad could barely scratch the surface with less than 400 copies and pieces and manuscripts. Compared to 24,000, the New Testament is the most attested to document of any ancient piece or other document. Historically, it's archaeology, it's transmission, both written and oral. And that's just the human side. What about the Spirit of God? Didn't I say in the beginning, Spirit is beyond matter. Spirit is beyond the particle, beyond the atom, but affects the particle, affects the atom, and God, who is Spirit, can work on an atomic level. And I'm telling you right now, and listen, for believers who are saved that know that you're born the Spirit of God and know that glorification is coming, New Agers should listen, because this is the most amazing spiritual event that will occur in less than a second, an unsplittable point of time. In the twinkling of an eye, in an atom, 1 Corinthians 15, in a flash, by the exertion of Spirit, the Spirit of God, those redeemed, those embraced Christ, those who have received into them the Spirit of God and Christ's gift of eternal life, this is actual. It's not just a hope, it's actual. What is in you, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, Romans 8 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. But if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the gift of eternal life in you, you have been infected all the way down to your DNA, your entire being, body, soul, and spirit. So that at that last trumpet, the sound that occurs, the descent of Christ, as He promised, Eckhart Tolle is wrong. I call him Tolle. I know it's Tolle. There's going to be a change. And this change is absolutely, well, the angels have never, listen, the angels have seen the original creation of mankind, Adam, humankind, male and female in the species. And they praised God in that beginning. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the Scripture says, and we were meant to bear the Imago Dei, but by our joining the insurrection, the Spirit of God left, and if you do not know Christ, do not know God, do not have the Spirit of God inside of you, your spirit, though alive as a human spirit, is dead to God. I mean, read Ephesians chapter 2, you'll see these things. Read Romans 8, you'll see the two different sides of the fence. Operating in you can be the law of sin and death. It's the platform for the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, those who are continuing the insurrection and rebellion. Oh, it's all about where you are in your heart. The world is affected by humanity and what we have opened the door. Listen, did we give the right to the enemy? Sure. The wages of sin is death, like God said would happen. There's a death code inside of you. Because of the sin code. That is broken when the Spirit of God breaks into your life and brings direct application of the living Christ instantaneously. Oh, there's development as we begin to grow and walk and learn. The salvation is beyond a moment in time, and it's beyond splittable. Like creation, the new birth, even conception, and the glorification, they all have one thing in common. It occurs in a twinkling. It occurs, as they say, in an unsplittable moment of time. What can be split by God that by man's ability, you may not be able to catch it? That's why CERN may or may not be able to catch this big particle. Grab a piece of creation. All the while the Creator speaks to the scientists. Speaks to the scientists and speaks to the leaders. And the Spirit of God who is there, bang, bara, at the beginning in creation. The Spirit of God that was breathed into the breath of humanity and made us a living soul. In redemption, it's the Spirit of God that may be drawing you providentially to come and hear the message that has God's presence in it, in the words, in the message. It is a power of God that can affect your physical being, body, soul, and spirit, can bring you into direct and eternal personal relational relationship with God, Jesus Christ, beyond the concepts and massive considerations of CERN, beyond all alternative spiritualities that are out there. Listen, if it comes from finite spirits, you'll never be led to God. They will not lead you to Christ. They will not lead you to the experience of the transformation, regeneration, the act of God coming into your life when you receive Christ as Savior and Lord. But I tell you what they will do. They will distract you. They will draw you in. They will give you data, revelation. They will do all they can to move things according to their agenda, including the development of globally impacting technology, giving pieces of human enhancement, all the while guiding that technology for future Antichrist servitude. So, one of the scientists at CERN, I'm going to quote it again, off the page, techfreak.com. Again, quote, CERN software developer Ran Livni has expressed some concerns about the project, SuperCLAN. Okay? Here's the quote. This physical realm is unknown, referring again to the particle, and what's going to happen, what they're going to do when they turn it on again and again. Here's what he says. This physical realm is unknown, and dangerous phenomena might arise. Any physicist will tell you that there is no way to prove that generated black holes will decay. The consequences of being mistaken are unfathomable. This subject deserves serious, unbiased discussion, end of quote. I want you to focus on one thing real quick. We only have 2 minutes. When Rand says this, listen, I'm quoting him, the consequences of being mistaken are unfathomable. In the beginning, listening to the fallen cherub, the consequences of that demonic doctrine, being mistaken, and it was, are unfathomable. The consequences of embracing the spirit and energy and guidance of the new age. I think Rand's words can be applied. The consequences of being mistaken are unfathomable. Come to truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net.